السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The 20th of February is well known in the Jamaat, the community, in connection with the prophecy of Musleh Ma'ud, the promised reformer. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was given the glad tidings of the birth of a son who would be a servant of the religion, would live a long life, and would possess countless other qualities. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, mentions the significance of this prophecy when he says, "This is not only a prophecy, but also a grand heavenly sign, which has been manifested by the glorious God to demonstrate the truth and greatness of our noble Prophet, the compassionate and merciful Muhammad, the Chosen One, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This sign is in fact hundreds of times superior and more potent and majestic than the sign of bringing a dead person back to life." The reality of bringing a dead person back to life entails one calling back one's soul through prayers. But here, mention is of the grace of God Almighty, accepting the humble prayers of the seal of the prophets, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and promising to send to the world a great soul whose inner and outer blessings would spread and disseminate across the entire world. So, whilst it appears that this sign is equal to the sign of bringing dead people back to life, closer observation reveals that it is actually an immensely greater sign. The soul of dead people returns through prayers, and here too a soul has been requested for through prayers. However, the difference in those souls and this soul is hundreds of thousands in value apart. Both Ahmadis and non-Ahmadis witnessed how the prophecy of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was fulfilled in spectacular fashion. As time would prove, this prophecy applied to the person of Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad, Khalifatul Masih II, may Allah be pleased with him. The scholars and the members of the Jamaat, the Ahmadiyya community, had already believed that this prophecy related to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II. However, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II never expressed that he was the promised reformer, the Musleh Ma'ud, nor did he announce that the prophecy related to him. to the extent that 30 years passed and he never said that the prophecy related to him. Finally, in 1944, he announced that he was the Muslim Ma'ud, the promised reformer. Today, I will cite summaries of two sermons of Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, generally in his own words. In his Friday sermon of 28th January 1944, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "Today I wish to say something to you which for my natural disposition is extremely burdensome and arduous. However, as certain prophethoods and divine decrees are intertwined with this, hence I cannot hold back despite a natural urge to resist." Then Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, cited a long dream, and mentioning its interpretation, he said the following: "God the Almighty had destined for the prophecy of Muslih Ma'ud, the promised reformer, to apply to my being." Prior to this, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud had never explicitly said this about his own person relating to this prophecy. He said, "People asked me repeatedly that what is your opinion about these prophecies? However, the truth of the matter is, I never read any of these prophecies seriously, lest I deceive myself to conjure thoughts that were contrary to the reality." Observe how the actual person the prophecy applied to was so cautious to relate it to himself. However, others, who are out of their minds, connect the prophecy to their own persons without any supporting signs. What can we say except that the latter type of individuals are insane? Nonetheless, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud displays his embarrassment and hesitancy relating to this prophecy in the following manner when he says, "Once Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I handed a letter to me and said, 'The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote this letter to me regarding your birth. You should publish this letter in Tashhizul Azhan.' The Tashhizul Azhan magazine was founded and also published by Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud relates that out of respect and deference to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, I took the letter and published it. However, I did not read the letter closely at the time. Then too, people said all sorts of things after the letter was published, but I remained silent. I said it was not necessary to bring this matter before the person who the prophecy was about. Nor was it necessary for the person whom the prophecy was about to say that he was the one the prophecy related to. For example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a prophecy regarding the railway train, and he said that the train would appear in a future era. Believers accept that this prophecy was fulfilled because they witnessed its fulfillment with their very own eyes. However, the railway does not need to announce that it was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud says, "In any case, people presented before me various prophecies which related to my person, and they insisted I testify to being the one the prophecies spoke about. I always replied that the prophecies themselves reveal whom they apply to. If these prophecies relate to me, then time would itself manifest this. And if these prophecies did not relate to me, then the evidence of the time would negate my person being connected to them. In both cases, I do not need to say anything. If the prophecies do not relate to me, then why should I become a sinner? And if they relate to me, I do not need to haste, as God the Almighty would reveal the truth himself." a part of the revelation said, "They said that the one awaited is this one indeed, or should we look for another?" These were the words of the revelation. So the world asked this question so many times that a long period of time passed by. The revelations of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also allude to this lengthy passage of time. For example, the brothers of Hadrat Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph alayhi salam, said to Hadrat Yaqub alayhi salam, that is their father Jacob alayhi salam, that will he continue speaking about Yusuf alayhi salam for such a long period of time, even up to his death? Hazrat Musleh Maud says that the same revelation was given to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah also received the revelation that I smell the fragrance of Yusuf, which he mentions in a couplet. This demonstrates that the prophecy of Musleh Maud was manifested after a long period of time under God's will. Similarly, Hadrat Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph alayhi salam, reunited with his father after a very long time, and thus the prophecy was fulfilled after this long passage of time. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, "I believe that even if up to my death it had not been revealed that this prophecy applied to me, circumstances would automatically make it clear that this prophecy was fulfilled in this era through my person. Thus, I am the one whom these prophecies apply to. However, according to divine will, God the Almighty manifested this reality and informed me that the prophecies relating to Musleh Maud, the promised reformer, related to my person." Hazrat Musleh Maud briefly mentions some of the prophecies. For example, "He will convert 3 into 4. And Hadrat Musleh Maud says, "People always ask what the meaning of this prophecy is. And similarly, people inquire about the prophecy, it is Monday, a blessed Monday." Hazrat Musleh Maud explains both these prophecies in the following way. In terms of the prophecy, "He will convert 3 into 4, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, thought it meant that he will turn 3 sons into 4. If we infer this, then it is evident what is meant by the 4th son. Mirza Sultan Ahmed Sahib, Mirza Fazal Ahmed Sahib, and Mirza Bashir Ahmed I were all born before me, and I was the 4th one, or the 4th son, to be born. After me, 3 sons were born to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and so I am the one who converted 3 into 4 in this manner also. Further, Allah the Almighty enabled Mirza Sultan Ahmed Sahib to accept Ahmadiyyat during my Khilafat. This is another way that I converted 3 into 4. As such, I am the one who converted 3 into 4 in 3 ways, if we look at this from the point of view of the children of the promised Messiah. However, God the Almighty directed my attention to another meaning. The revelation does not actually say that he will convert 3 sons into 4. The revelation only mentions that he will convert 3 into 4. So in my view, the birth date of the one the prophecy applies to is being alluded to here. The prophecy of Musleh Maud, the promised reformer, was revealed at the beginning of 1886. I was born in 1889. So thus, the prophecy, "He will convert 3 into 4, prophesies that the birth of the promised reformer, the Musleh Maud, will be in the 4th year, which is exactly what came to pass. The prophecy, "It is Monday, a blessed Monday," could have other meanings as well. But in my view, a clear interpretation is that Monday is the 3rd day of the week. On the other side, we observe that in the spiritual dispensations, the prophets and the khulafa have distinct eras. As the era of the prophets maintain permanent importance connected to their persons, so too does the era of the khulafa hold permanent significance connected to their persons. Now observe and study and ponder on this matter closely. The first era was of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The second era was of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih the First. And the third era relates to me. Another revelation of God the Almighty testifies to this interpretation's validity. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, received a revelation, Fazl-e Umar. Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, was also the third in number of Khalifas after the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is Monday, a blessed Monday, does not infer that there will be a special day conferred with blessings. Rather, it means the similitude of the era of this promised reformer in the era of Ahmadiyyat will be like that of Monday. Meaning that this person will be the third one Allah the Almighty sends amongst those he sends to serve the religion in the era of this movement. The revelation Fazl-e Umar also indicates this. Thus, according to the word of God the Almighty, يُفَصِّرُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا, that some things explain the meaning of others. Fazl-e Umar provides the interpretation of it is Monday, a blessed Monday. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, there is another glad tiding for Islam through it is Monday, a blessed Monday, which Allah the Almighty has destined to initiate and was completely beyond my control. No individual can claim that this was initiated through their will or intentionally by them. In other words, this relates to Tahreek-e-Jadid, which launched in 1934 in circumstances completely beyond my control. The government had planned to take certain severe and harsh measures against the Jamaat, the Ahmadiyya community, and the Ahrar had also been scheming to brew up discord. Allah the Almighty planted the inspiration to launch this in my heart, that is of Tahreek-e-Jadid, and I have allocated 10 years for the first phase of this scheme. A day of Eid follows for every person who offers sacrifices. Observe that Eid follows immediately after the fast of Ramadan. Similarly, the year after 10 years of Tahreek-e-Jadid are completed will be a year of Eid. 10 years had not been completed at the time Hadhrat Musleh Maud was saying this. So Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, it is astonishing that 1944 completes the 10 years. And so if we consider 1945 as the 11th year of Tahreek-e-Jadid, and this 11th year as the year of Eid, so we see that this 11th year begins on a Monday, as mentioned in the prophecy. Thus, Allah the Almighty also contained within the words of this prophecy news of the future, that finding Islam in an extremely weak and dire state, the foundation of an extremely important tabligh institution will be established to propagate and spread Islam. When the first phase is successfully completed, it will be a blessed time for the community. Observe that the time and circumstances have proven that the message of Islam and Ahmadiyyat is reaching to all parts of the world by virtue of Tahreek-e-Jadid. See how Tahreek-e-Jadid has successfully passed through numerous decades and today stands established in every country where the Jamaat, the Ahmadiyya community, has laid its foundations. After Hadhrat Musleh Maud mentions his very long dream and the announcement that he is the promised reformer, he also says, in this dream I begin to utter the following words, Ana al-Masih al-Ma'udu Masilahu wa Khalifatahu, that I am the promised Messiah, his resemblance and his successor. It was very strange for me to have said this phrase. Naturally, I would think this as I was waking up, but even in the dream, I felt it was strange for me to be uttering these words. Later, when I related this dream to others, I was told that Messianic qualities is mentioned in the Promised Messiah's advertisement or pamphlet of the 20th of February, 1886. The next day, Hadhrat Maulvi Sarwar Shah Sahib said that the advertisement mentions the following: that he will come into the world and will heal many of their ills through his messianic qualities and through the blessings of the Ruhul Haq, the Holy Spirit. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud says, I also saw in a dream that I have idols broken. There are a large number of idols which I have broken. This is an indication to the fact that through the blessings of the Ruhul Haq, the Holy Spirit, many will be cured of their ills. Ruhul Haq, the Holy Spirit, means the spirit of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah the Almighty. And Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud laid the foundations in the world for the propagation of Islam, and thus cured the hearts of the world from shirk, associating partners with God. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud said, Thirdly, I saw in the dream that I am running. I am not just walking fast, rather rushing forward, and the earth below is shrinking under my feet. The prophecy of the Promised Son also mentions that he will grow rapidly in stature. Thus in the dream I see that I travel to other countries, but my work does not come to completion there. Rather, I resolve to go on even further. I say in the dream, O grateful servant of God the Almighty, I will advance forward, and when I return from my travels, I will witness that you have established Tawheed, the oneness of Allah the Almighty, and you have eradicated shirk, associating partners with God, and have instilled the teachings of Islam and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in the hearts of people. This is indicated in the prophecy of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that his fame will reach to the ends of the earth, which meant that he would advance the mission of Tabligh, of propagating the message of Islam. We can see for ourselves how this prophecy was emphatically fulfilled during the time of Hadhrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. Likewise, in this lengthy vision, many aspects of the prophecy of Musleh Ma'ud, the promised reformer, were shown to Hadhrat Musleh Ma'ud through various forms. In any case, instead of speaking in regards to the vision, I will briefly mention the comparisons Hadhrat Musleh Ma'ud has drawn between various events of his own life and the prophecy of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and explain how those events which relate to the time of Hadhrat Musleh Ma'ud fulfill that prophecy. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud states, People used to say that I was only a child. However, at such a time, God the Almighty appointed me as the Khalifa. The prophecy also makes reference to this, as it says, He will advance rapidly. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud then relates an incident where he says, Once while waiting for the Salat for the prayers, I was leisurely walking in Hazrat Ammajan's room, the blessed wife of the promised Messiah, which was situated behind the mosque. I could hear loud voices from inside the mosque, and one of the voices was of Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib, which I was able to recognize, and he was saying, The Jamaat, the Ahmadiyya community, is being destroyed by placing a child as its head. This discord is being created over a child. So Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud says, I was amazed as to who this child was. Eventually I went to the mosque and asked someone who this child was. The person laughed and replied, That child is you. This statement of those who were opposing was in fact testifying the revelation of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that he will advance rapidly. God Almighty granted me progress so quickly that the enemy was left astounded, because only a few months ago, those who called me a child, a few months later now, while talking ill of me, were calling me an experienced and cunning individual. They completely transformed their view. Thus, in my childhood and through my very own hands, God Almighty defeated those who sought to cause disharmony in the community. Despite the fact that they called me a child and despite the fact that I actually was a child, however, God the Almighty granted me the governance at the age of 25. A governance which was not a worldly one, rather it was a spiritual governance. In a worldly governance, the king has a sword, has power, has an entourage, armies, generals, prisons, and treasures and wealth. The king can hand out punishment to anyone he wills. However, in a spiritual governance, it is one's choice whether one wants to accept it or not, and there is no question of power. Moreover, God the Almighty appointed me over this spiritual governance at such a time when there was only a few coins that remained in the treasury, and the treasury was left in a debt of thousands of rupees. God the Almighty entrusted me with this responsibility in such circumstances when almost all of the landowners of the Jamaat, the community, were from among those who stood in opposition to us. They opposed to such an extent that one of them pointed towards the Madrasa High School and said, "We are leaving, but very soon you will see that the Christians will assume ownership of these buildings." So a 25-year-old boy, whose opponents possessed all of the worldly resources, he did not have any wealth, nor any experienced workers, and the ground was captured by the enemy, and they were rejoicing over the idea that now Christians would take over. They also said that the boy who has been handed the authority, his days will be transformed into degeneration and wretchedness, and he will face humiliation and disgrace. Can a person imagine as to what will come to pass of such a community or Jamaat in such circumstances? However, those days have long gone, and today, those who can see are witnessing that God the Almighty has caused the Jamaat, the community, to increase hundredfold as compared to when it was first given to me. Today, there are 20 times as many countries to which the name of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has reached out to, as compared to the number of countries in which the name of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had reached back then. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, "The treasury which contained only 18 paltry coins now has hundreds of thousands of rupees. If I were to die today, I would leave hundreds of thousands of rupees behind in the treasury. I would leave behind many more books in support of the community as compared to the ones I had at the time, that is, literature. I will also leave behind far greater knowledge as compared to what I had been given at the time of when God the Almighty appointed me as the Khalifa." Thus, God the Almighty, who said that he will advance rapidly and that he will be sheltered under the shadow of God, fulfilled the prophecy with such greatness that even the most bitter of opponents cannot deny it. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has regarded this prophecy to be of great importance, as has been mentioned in the extract I presented in the beginning. This is not only a prophecy, in fact it is a great sign. According to the prophecy, this boy was supposed to be born within 9 months of it. These words are also found in the actual prophecy. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "One does not even know whether or not one will be alive in the next 9 months, and nor does one know whether one will have any kind of progeny or children, let alone becoming certain of having a boy." And not only the birth of a boy was prophesied, but in fact he was to become a means of Islam's excellence and honour. This was also mentioned in the prophecy. What a time that was when the enemy was launching its attacks on the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, from all sides, simply because he had claimed to be a recipient of divine revelation. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had stated that he received revelations, but had not yet claimed to be a mujaddid, a reformer, and nor had he yet claimed to be an appointed one from God. It was at that time that he made the prophecy about having a son, who would have such high qualities. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud says, when the renown of someone's deputy is mentioned, it signifies the renown of its master. Thus, when God the Almighty stated that his fame will spread to the ends of the earth, it means that through him the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, will also reach the corners of the world. Therefore, one can see how clear this prophecy is. During the lifetime of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, his message had only reached Afghanistan in a significant manner, or reached there to a certain degree because there were also two martyrs of Ahmadiyyat there. In other countries, the news of his message had just generally reached, which was either conveyed by the opponents, or they had been conveyed by a book of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, which had been sent through someone who showed it to others. The Jamaat, the community, had not been officially established in any country. Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib travelled to England, he came here, but he would say that mentioning the name of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, or the Jamaat, the community, is tantamount to giving poison. Therefore, the name of the promised Messiah and the Jamaat should not be mentioned in their view. And so if any name gained prominence in England, it was Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib's name and not the Jamaat's, nor the promised Messiah's. When God Almighty appointed Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud as the Khalifa, by the grace of God the Almighty, Ahmadiyyat spread to Sumatra, Strait Settlements, China, Mauritius, African countries, Egypt, Palestine, Iran, and other Arab and European countries. During the time of Hadhrat Musleh Ma'ud, the Jamaat, the community, numbered in thousands in some places, and in Africa it numbered in hundreds of thousands. The prophecy from God the Almighty also stated that he will be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge. Hadhrat Musleh Ma'ud said, I am not given to making claims, but despite this I cannot hide the truth that God Almighty helped me to write and speak on such important issues relating to Islam, for which it was highly essential to elucidate at the time. And I can assert that if those writings were put to one side, the propagation of Islam around the world cannot be done. There are many aspects of the Holy Quran which people could not have understood with reference to the time they lived in, unless they were explained in the context of other verses. It is the grace and blessings of God the Almighty that he has resolved these difficulties through me. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud says, at this present time, Islam is going through a very weak and frail phase. God the Almighty has once again laid the foundation for the safeguard of Islam through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. However, in the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, there were no cultural attacks on Islam as there are today. Thus, God the Almighty willed, in accordance with the prophecy of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to exalt an individual by virtue of his word, who will have in him or with him the blessings of the Holy Spirit, and who is filled with secular and spiritual knowledge. An individual who will refute the opponent's cultural attacks and carry out the defense of Islam in light of the promised Messiah's commentaries, the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the purport of the Holy Quran. Thus, God the Almighty did this and attested to my writings. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says, until God Almighty said so, I remained quiet. However, when God Almighty informed me, and not only informed me, but instructed me to let others know also, therefore let it be known that the prophecy has been fulfilled in my person in every respect. Not only did God Almighty instruct me to let others know, but by His grace He created such circumstances which corroborate the truthfulness of the prophecy. Just like the moon shines in the sky and God Almighty places the stars around it, similarly, during this time, many people had dreams in which the subject of the dream that I had was repeated in theirs. After I had my dream, one of the members, Dr. Muhammad Latif Sahib, wrote to me that he saw in a dream that an angel is calling out my name and saying, "His name will be taken with the names of the prophets and messengers." Having one's name taken along with the prophets and messengers points towards the prophecy of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in which it says that he will be like the Messiah. That is, the promised Messiah is a prophet and messenger, and his name will be taken with mine. Similarly, another friend wrote that he saw in a dream that I was standing on a minaret and announcing, "Is Allah not sufficient for his servant?" This revelation is among the early revelations received by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and announcing this revelation on a minaret means that God the Almighty will further strengthen the propagation of Ahmadiyyat through me. Thus, as it has also been mentioned earlier, that how in various countries the efforts for tabligh, for propagation of Islam, had begun on a large scale during the time of Hadrat Muslih Maud, and it is those very foundations upon which even today work is being carried out on. Hazrat Muslih Maud also mentioned some of the visions and revelations in support of him. He says, "God Almighty has honored me with divine revelation and has prepared me for the tasks mentioned in the prophecy of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him." I once had a dream, perhaps during the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, or in the early period of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I. I immediately related this dream to Major Sayyid Habibullah Shah Sahib, who currently is serving as the superintendent at the Central Jail Lahore, and various other members. Only a few days ago, he mentioned this dream to me, in which I was in Madrasa Ahmadiyyat, and Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib is also there. Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib then comes and after seeing us both says, "Let's have a competition. Who is taller between you and Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib?" However, I felt slightly reluctant to take part, but he forcefully took me to where Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib stood. Although in reality, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib is not smaller than me in height, in fact is taller, but when Sheikh Sahib made me stand next to him, he instantly said, that is, Sheikh Sahib said, "I thought Maulvi Sahib was taller, but in fact you are taller." In the dream, I saw that his head barely reached at my chest. Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib then brought a table and made him, that is, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib, stand on top of it, but even then he remained shorter than me. He then placed a stool on top of the table and made Maulvi Sahib stand on it, but again, Maulvi Sahib remained shorter than me. He then picked Maulvi Sahib and tried to make him level with my head, but still he remained below me. In fact, his legs would further dangle in the air as if he was like a child compared to me, and his feet would hardly reach my elbows. Now look how in this dream the news of this clash with Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib and its end result was given, which was due to take place. Although if this dream is from the early days of the first caliphate, then at that time it was Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib who was rebelling in the Jamaat, the community, and not Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib. However, Allah the Almighty depicted the future conflicts that were to arise in a strange manner. Accordingly, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib was so debased in this conflict against me that all his strength was spent to prove that only those people are honored in the sight of God the Almighty who are less in numbers. He used to say in the beginning that we are 95% and they are 4-5%, and the majority of the Jamaat, the community, can never be in error. This is what Maulvi Sahib used to say. However, now he says that no doubt the Jamaat community in Qadian is greater in number and we are in minority, but their great numbers are a proof of the falsehood, because God the Almighty says that my true servants are less in numbers. This is exactly the same illustration which is depicted in this dream. They became so small, that now they see their small numbers as a proof of their truthfulness. Then there is mention of another dream. It is rather a revelation. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, when there was dissension in the Jamaat, the community, Allah the Almighty revealed to me, La numazziqannahum, that we will destroy them into pieces. At that time, they would call themselves 95%. But what is their condition now? God the Almighty actually destroyed them into pieces according to this prophecy. Therefore, before his demise, Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib wrote, the prophecy which Mirza Mahmud published about us has been fulfilled accurately, and we have been destroyed into pieces in actuality. So Allah the Almighty destroyed them into pieces as everything was foretold in the prophecy. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, I will narrate some examples of God's words which were revealed to me out of His grace. Some of them I have narrated already. I have narrated two such examples here. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, I intend to publish some of my inspiration, revelations and visions in a small magazine to share some details to remember the favors of Allah the Almighty. This has been published in a book format. It is a very voluminous book. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that, by disclosing the unseen several times to me, Allah the Almighty has proven the prophecy which says that the Musleh Maud, the promised reformer, will be honored with the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to be true. These are the signs of Allah the Almighty that has been disclosed upon me. People say, what was the wisdom behind the fact that friends were already of the opinion that these prophecies came true in my person, but I have now made that claim? What is the wisdom behind this? I say that the same wisdom behind this is the same as is stated in the Holy Quran, that مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُزِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. This means that, and it does not behove Allah to let your faith go in vain. Meaning that when Allah the Almighty appoints the Promised One after the advent of the Prophet, then Allah the Almighty does not like that His established community falls into disbelief and lose its faith. For this reason, He creates such circumstances that the majority is compelled to accept Him as the Promised One. Therefore, when people witness the prophecies of the promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, being fulfilled in my person, their faith and conviction became complete, and they increased in faith. Their faith in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also increased further. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, the wisdom behind me making this announcement afterwards, and the community making me the one in whose person this prophecy was fulfilled before, is that Allah the Almighty did not desire to cause the faith of the believers to perish by putting them through the trial of disbelief and Islam a second time. He did not want his community to experience two deaths. The first death was when they rejected the promised Messiah. Then Allah the Almighty gave them life because of some good deed that they performed, and caused them to enter the Jamaat, the community of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. They left their relatives and endured hardships, but safeguarded their faith. After this, to think that God the Almighty will send the promised one, whose signs of truthfulness will appear long after his claim, in the life of the people who experienced this trial once before, would mean that a believer will be dragged towards the ditch of disbelief, and the companions are made disbelievers, and those who reject the truth, the community experiences misfortune. This is against the practice of God the Almighty. For this reason, regarding Hazrat Musleh Maud, the promised reformer, who was to appear in the Jamaat, the community, established by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, meaning who was to appear in the lifetime of the community, meaning the time of the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them. Allah the Almighty came up with this plan that He made him the Khalifa of the Jamaat, the community, at first, and took the oath of obedience from them, and He provided the means to fulfill the prophecies which were foretold in this regard. When the truth became evident upon the community like daylight, then He informed him, that is the Khalifatul Masih, or the Promised One, about this truth through divine revelation. So the testimony of the heaven and the earth is gathered, and the Jamaat, the community of the believers, is safeguarded from the blemish of disbelief and rejection. May Allah the Almighty safeguard everyone's faith. May He protect the faith of every Ahmadi and always guard against the blemish of disbelief and rejection. Members of the community should benefit as much as possible from the intellectual and wise words of Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud. It is in Urdu and some of the literature is in other languages as well. One should read it. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone to do so. After offering prayers, I will lead a funeral prayers in absentia for respected Sufi Nazir Ahmed Sahib, son of respected Mia Muhammad Abdullah Sahib, deceased. He passed away on the 7th of February in Germany at the age of 93 years. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He served in the army before the partition of the subcontinent in 1947. After the partition, he joined the Furqan force, which was established under the instructions of Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud, and served as an instructor. After that, he worked in Karachi for some time. Then he moved to Ahmedabad state in Sindh and started his own business. He served as the secretary Mal, the finance secretary there, for a long period of time. After some time, he moved to Rabwa. His brother was perhaps his business partner in Sindh when he moved to Rabwa. His brother faced some difficulties to run the business. His brother asked him to return to Sindh, but he replied that, "I have moved to Rabwa and I will now stay there." Upon that, his brother wrote to Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III that, "Please instruct my brother to return to Sindh." So Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III called him and instructed him to return to Sindh. The Sadr Jamaat of an area in Rabwa was also present at that time. He requested Hazur that he is a very sincere worker of ours. So upon that, Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III said, "We also need sincere workers in Sindh." In this way, Sufi Sahib returned to Sindh. He had no intention of returning. Upon the instructions of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih and answering his call, he shut down his business in Rabwa. He left his family there and returned to Sindh. He returned to Rabwa after spending a long time in Sindh. He served in various offices of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya as an honorary member. He served in the office of Private Secretary Rabwa for a long time. In 1986, he moved to Germany and stayed there until his demise. In Germany, he worked as Sadr Jamaat of Heidelberg. Under Majlis Ansarullah, he served as Nazim Ilaka for one of the regions out of the four regions in total. He also received first prize as a Nazim Ilaka during the fourth caliphate. He left behind two daughters and four sons. Two of his sons, Bilal Shams Sahib and Munir Javed Sahib, are life devotees. One of his son-in-laws is Hanif Mahmood Sahib in Rabwa. He is a missionary and is Naib Nazir Islah Rashad. He is a life devotee. Dr. Jalal Shams Sahib, who is in charge of the Turkish desk, is the son of respected Sufi Nazir Ahmed Sahib and writes that if Khalifatul Masih was present, or he, that is respected Sufi Nazir Ahmad Sahib, was visiting, he would always try to pray behind Khalifatul Masih. He was an ardent worshipper. His style of praying was very beautiful. There was so much pain, sighing and wailing during his prayers that it would seem as if his emotions were boiling up and gushing forth in front of Allah the Almighty. Dr. Jalal Sham Sahib says that his brother Munir Javed Sahib became sick with pneumonia when he was 6 months old. It was difficult for him to survive. Our doctor gave up on him. He says that my father and my mother prayed vigorously that I will devote this child for the sake of Allah the Almighty. So Allah the Almighty heard their prayers. But at one point, he was at a stage that once my mother said that, "It seems to me that this child is at his last breath. Where are you going?" It was time for prayer and he was headed towards the mosque for prayers in congregation. He replied, "I am going to the one who has the power to grant health. I am going to beg from him." Such was his conviction in his God. In Sindh, when serving as a Jamaat worker, any accountant working on Jamaat properties would go and leave, then respected Sufi Nazir Ahmad Sahib would voluntarily serve in his place. He had signed up for Vasiyat very early in his lifetime, and he was very eager to have the youth sign up as well. He would keep the Vasiyat forms with him and would instruct others that you should read and sign up for Vasiyat. He writes that he devoted half of his progeny. He devoted 2 sons out of 4, that is, they did waqf, and he married 1 daughter out of 2 to a waqf zindagi, life devotee. His daughter wrote that recitation of the Holy Quran was not only a part of his daily routine throughout his life, rather he would instruct all his grandchildren and his children to offer prayers and to recite the Holy Quran. Studying the books of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was part of his daily routine. He used to say that I have studied the books of the Promised Messiah 3 times, and his daughter says that he asked me as well, do you read them or not? He strongly opposed cultural customs and practices. She says that in the first place, no one can even imagine customs and practices in our family. However, if he would notice of any such thing, he would find it unpleasant and would leave that place agitated. He had trust in God. His last illness was rather prolonged and was painful, but he endured it with great patience and gratitude. His acquaintances and his children, everyone, has written particularly about his worship, that it was such a scene that his soul was melting away in front of Allah the Almighty. That is the way he would worship. His relation with Khilafat was also extremely strong. He would wait outside my office for me to come out so that he could say salam, greetings of peace, to me when he was visiting. Sometimes he would have to stand and wait for a long time despite his old age and weakness. Anyways, Allah the Almighty had granted him countless qualities. May Allah the Almighty treat him with forgiveness and mercy, and may he elevate his ranks. May Allah the Almighty make his progeny the heir of his prayers, and may Allah the Almighty grant them the ability to continue on his righteous deeds.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.